Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready. It's time to laugh, to win, and to live the thrill of the action.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. What the hell's going on out here?
No idea what's going on, but I am excited.
Every pick, every play, every game-changing moment. This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome to another edition of You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM right here on the BetMGM Network. I'm Femi Abebefe, hanging out with you guys over the next 4 hours, where you can find us across a multitude of platforms. Make sure to watch us live 24/7 on the BetMGM Network and directly on the free Odyssey app. You can also check us out on Twitch at BetMGM Network and on YouTube at the BetMGM Network. You can watch us on Roku, Fubo TV, Samsung TV Plus, and more. And if you'd like to listen to us, you can go ahead and do so at Sirius Channel 160 and Sirius XM 205. And throughout these 4 hours, make sure you hit us up on social media. You can find me on Twitter at Femi Abebefe. You can find me on Instagram, Femi_Abebefe. Check out the show on Twitter at You Better You Bet and the entire network at BetMGM Network over on Twitter. You like our show, you like Bet Sweats, BetMGM Tonight, Daily Tip, all the shows that we have across the network, weekdays and weekends at BetMGM Network is where you can find the wagertainment. We got the crew hanging with us here on this Wednesday, hump day. We have Tyler Morales, Jake Hassan, Bill Zimmerman, Mike Brown, Sean Hough, Nick Kostos. He joins us at the top of the hour with his thoughts on the Boston Red Sox beating his New York Yankees in Game 1 last night in the AL Wild Card Series. Bronx Bombers now facing elimination tonight. Absolutely loved it, for me at least, seeing the Red Sox win back in Garrett Crochet, which we'll talk about a little bit later on in the next segment. But it was great to see the Red Sox come from behind, get the W, and take the 1-0 series lead. Because as we discussed on Monday, I think Boston's going to win the American League. I just do. And I'm saying this as a Seattle Mariners fan. I think Boston's going to get it done. So the fact that they got it done last night, just need one more to get by the Yankees, which I think are actually their toughest competition in the American League. But we'll talk a little bit of baseball as well as football in the NFL, college football. We have so much to get to over the course of these 4 hours. So if you miss anything, make sure you check us out in podcast form. Just search You Better You Bet wherever you get your podcasts. And because we're being so kind and putting it on there in on-demand fashion for all of you to consume, the least you could do is to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. We have three guests who will be joining us throughout these 4 hours, starting at 4:40 Eastern. College football insider for On3 Sports, America's favorite college football insider, our buddy Brett McMurphy, joins us once again here on You Better You Bet. We're going to break down the Week 6 slate for the upcoming weekend in college football. Who's his Heisman front runner? Is it Oregon's Dante Moore? Is it Indiana's Fernando Mendoza? Who does Brett have right now as the leader in the clubhouse 5 weeks into the college football season? We'll ask him at 4:40. Then at 5 o'clock Eastern, to begin the third hour of the program, Odyssey NFL insider, analyst for NFL Network, Compass Media, Brian Baldinger joins us once again. Always good to catch up with Baldy as we'll get the film perspective on what we should expect to see in week 5 of the NFL season. And then during the power hour at 6:20 Eastern, Co-host of First Things First on FS1, Danny Parkins joins us for his weekly Wednesday spot here on You Better You Bet, as we'll get all of his takes on the biggest matchups. And are the Bears onto something? That's two in a row now for the Chicago Bears. Beat the Cowboys a couple of weeks ago, beat the Raiders this past Sunday. Now heading into the bye week, early bye week at 500. Are they turning things around early in this NFL season? But let's go ahead and bring on the crew, the fellas, Jay Kassan, our baseball aficionado, Tyler Morales as well, here on the show as we talk about the game that's about to get underway in the north side between the San Diego Padres and the Chicago Cubs. Of course, Chicago winning game one yesterday, so they have a 1-0 series lead. Padres fighting for their lives tonight. And you can see it right now on the screen for those of you who are watching. Mike Brown doing a good job putting that up there for our viewing audience. But the Chicago Cubs are the favorites over at BetMGM. They're minus 115 with a Kittredge on the mound against Dylan Cease and the Padres. Total sitting at 6.5. Fellas, I'm just going to sweat my Cubs series price bet. Like, I bet Chicago minus 115 before the start of the series. Bet them yesterday in game one with Matthew Boyd on the mound. I don't really want any parts of this bullpen game. So I'm just going to sweat this game with the series bet that I have already in pocket and hope that the Cubbies can somehow pull this off against Dylan Cease and the Padres. Jake, first word to you, our baseball aficionado. What do you like this afternoon in a do-or-die spot for the Padres?
Yeah, it may be only October 1st, but baby, that stove is hot, and I'm going to touch it again. Give me the Padres. Cubs bullpen game? Come on, what are we doing here?
I mean, it's not great from current counsel. I guess we couldn't do Shota and Imanaga. I guess he doesn't have enough rest or what's going on here. But the fact that they're doing a bullpen game, maybe they feel like, hey, we already got one in the bank, and we can maybe try to roll the dice, but I don't really like that much from the Chicago Cubs. So I'm hoping they can pull it off. But for your sake, we will be Oppo Taco. Tyler, what do you like this afternoon in the game?
It does seem like, from just what I've been reading, Imanaga's going to come in at some point in this game, maybe like after the second or third inning. So, but he hasn't been great, though, and he gives up a ton of home runs. On the bright side, the wind's blowing in like 15 miles per hour, so maybe that just helps him from giving up a ton of home runs to the Padres. There's really no home run bets I like here because the wind's blowing in. I do like the Cubs. I'm going to stick what I've said all before the series. I think they're going to win the series, and I think there's a chance they beat the Brewers next round. So give me the Cubs here. I like them. Not like one of my favorite bets of the day, but I think they close the series down. The Padres in the playoffs just like usually doesn't go well, so I'm just gonna keep doing it. So I'll take the Cubs in the money line.
Yeah, with the wind blowing in, I mean, they should be just starting Imanaga. Like that's his ideal scenario. Yeah, as the fly ball pitcher, just start the dude, put him on the mound and let him go six innings or so of shutout ball. Jake, we did not ask you, how did the birthday festivities go yesterday before we get into the meat of the show here?
Shout out the Boston Red Sox. That was pretty awesome win. Not nerve-wracking at all. Watching that during this stupid Blackhawks preseason game that nobody cared about. But no, it was good. For a Tuesday birthday, we had a good time.
Hell yeah. Absolutely love it. Unfortunately, the Padres could not get it done for you yesterday. I don't think they're going to do it today either. Let's go, Cubbies. Let's fly the W, and let's get to the NLDS. So that is Padres-Cubs. Shout out to our guys, Jake Kassan and Tyler Morales, joining us here with their bets for the game. Once again, I will just be sweating the series price that I had prior to the start of the series, and that is Chicago minus 115. No point of adding more money. We added some more money yesterday. That was great. Matthew Boyd and the Cubs, they got it done for us. But today, I'm like, I'll just bet the minus 115 that I have already in pocket. Just ride that. And if they don't win today, hey, they got another chance tomorrow in a decisive game three. Let's update you guys first on what's going on right now in Cleveland between the Tigers and the Guardians. Right now, we are 1-1 in this bottom of the sixth. This has just been like a back and forth kind of game where, like, I don't know if either of these offenses want to wake up. It feels like, hey, maybe Cleveland might be onto something. They cool off. Maybe Detroit might be onto something. They cool off. You can maybe credit the pitching, although it's been a little bit shaky. Bybee went 4 2/3. Casey Mize only lasted 3 innings. I think this is just going to be one of those games where someone's going to make a mistake, a base running error, as we saw yesterday, some kind of infield error or something like that. That's going to end up deciding who wins this game. But Cleveland, bet them before the start of the series, sweating that bet plus 105 to win it. Season on the line. Let's get it done, boys. Let's play guards ball and get that thing to a game three. We'll update you guys on that game throughout this hour. But let's stay in Cleveland and talk about some of the big news from the NFL early this morning, because the Cleveland Browns, they went ahead and did it. They decided to start rookie quarterback Dylan Gabriel on Sunday when they take on the Minnesota Vikings in London. It will be Gabriel starting for the Browns as Joe Flacco goes to the bench. Now, when I saw this news, and this news kind of trickled out yesterday, we talked about it a little bit in the 3 o'clock hour yesterday, but none of the main insiders in the NFL had really run with it yet. So, I mean, shout out to CBS's Matt Zenitz, who was on this bad boy 24 hours ago. Give him the tip of the cap there for being first on the scene. But we always felt that this was the plan when they drafted Gabriel on Friday night in the third round in the NFL draft this past April. It was always going to be, all right, either Pickett or Flacco, whichever veteran wins the job, they'll get a portion of the season, then it'll go to Gabriel, and then who knows what happens after that. So now we're in that portion, the play Dylan Gabriel portion. Do we see Shedeur Sanders at some point? I don't know. It depends on how Gabriel plays. Like, sorry for the Shedeur Sanders people out there. I'd like to see Shedeur Sanders play at some point, but like, this is how things go in the NFL. They invested a third-round pick in Gabriel, a fifth-round pick in Shedeur Sanders, and the training camp and preseason reps would have told you the story about how this would go in the regular season. They like Dylan Gabriel. So he gets first bat at this thing with Joe Flacco heading to the bench. And I really never thought that Dylan Gabriel, when I was watching college football, I never thought he was a good player. I thought he was solid and surrounded by other good players, whether he was at Oklahoma or at Oregon, or even back when he was like at UCF. Like, I was like, okay, like he's okay. You know, like that doesn't really wow you when you watch him play. He's pretty efficient. He was doing some things in college football, but you never really thought of him as like a Sunday guy when you watched him play. And I know my own biases with that going into the draft. I remember watching the draft Friday night back in April, being stunned that this man was drafted, let alone in the third round. But I say all that to say this, and this is where, from a betting standpoint, you have to kind of try to remove your biases if you want to hit it big. And the question that I asked myself when I saw this notification hit the phone early this morning, 5 a.m. for us here on the West Coast, the question that I asked myself was, what if I'm wrong about Dylan Gabriel? What if we're all wrong about Dylan Gabriel? Because the consensus opinion about this dude is that he's bad. And I think that's probably coming from a lot of people who just want to see Shedeur Sanders play, that they think that, oh, Gabriel's a bad quarterback. Like, I thought that, like, Shedeur aside, I just don't think he's that good. Never thought he was good in college, like I said. But, like, what if we're wrong? Because we're wrong all the time about quarterbacks. Why can't we be wrong about this one? And what if the Cleveland Browns front office just hit a home run with this draft class? So far, it's looking pretty damn good, isn't it? Mason Graham's a key contributor. Carson Schlesinger is a key contributor. One of the short shots to win D-Roy. Quinshon Judkins, now that he's back, he's obviously balling. Harold Fannin Jr., Dylan Sampson. Like, what if they just knocked it out the park with this draft class? And what if that means they also nailed it with Dylan Gabriel? I mean, this team might be cooking with gas, seriously. And I didn't think I would believe this when I went to bed last night. But the more I thought about it, when I saw the news this morning, and I said, hey, if this guy could just be serviceable, what kind of possibilities does that open up for the Cleveland Browns in 2025? Because the one thing we do know about the Cleveland Browns, and I think any football fan would agree with what I'm about to say, they have a championship-level defense. That is a fact. The Cleveland Browns defense is one of the best in the NFL. And it's not just this year. This has been going on multiple years since they've had Jim Schwartz as their defensive coordinator and Myles Garrett has been playing like the future Hall of Famer that he is. Like last season, they were top 10 in defense and success rate, the stat that I love, that we always talk about here on the show. They were top 10 last year, despite how bad things were on offense. This year, top 5 in defensive EPA per play when you take away turnovers from the equation, when you just want to look at, like, turnover luck aside, who's just playing down-to-down great defense, Cleveland's in the top 5 in defensive EPA per play. And Myles Garrett, who's one defensive player of the year in his career, I think is playing at the highest level that he's ever played. He looks unblockable this year. He's insane. He's amazing. And he is one of the best players in the NFL. And he leads this defense that has been insane through 4 weeks. Because when you look at the offenses that Cleveland has faced, and I know their record, they're 1-3. They're not good in terms of their record. And Bill Parcells always says, you are what your record says you are. But look at the offenses that they've faced. Week 1, they played the Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Bengals offense. Completely shut them down. embarrass them on the field. Now, the kicker unfortunately missed some field goals. They lose the game, but the Browns defense did their job that day. Week two, they take on Lamar, Derrick Henry, and the Baltimore Ravens. I know what the score says, 41-17, but the Browns defense did their job that day. Go look at that box score and look at the inefficiency that Baltimore had on offense. Around 4 yards per play, not even 300 yards. Like, that Browns defense bottled up that Lamar, Derrick Henry offense. Week three, against the Green Bay Packers. We all saw them, what they did to Green Bay. They ultimately win the game. And even last Sunday against the Detroit Lions, Lions win the game. Oh, yeah, they destroyed them, didn't they? Not on offense. None of those offenses, Bengals, Ravens, Packers, Lions, were able to average 5 yards per play against this Cleveland defense. Now, just imagine if the Browns get serviceable quarterback play. Like, let's just say Gabriel doesn't have to be good. He doesn't have to be average. What if he's just like the 25th best QB in the league? Well, the betting market is telling you he's replacing a guy that was horrendous, because that market did not move for Sunday's game against the Minnesota Vikings. Joe Flacco, oh, by the way, 32nd in QBR, only behind Cam Ward so far this season. I think with serviceable quarterback play, which is not asking a whole lot from rookie quarterback Dylan Gabriel, with an offensive line that's solid and some skill position guys that can do some things, with Kevin Stefanski as the trigger man kind of directing this offense, I think the Browns not only cover on Sunday, I think they win on Sunday against Minnesota. And I'll take it a step further. In an AFC that is not anything to write home about, that is not very good beyond the top contenders, I think Cleveland is live to make the playoffs at plus 650. I think the Browns going to Gabriel opens up in a whole nother world of possibilities, as long as he is just a serviceable NFL quarterback. On the other side, we'll get to the top stories from around the world of sports here on a Wednesday on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Welcome back. This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi and Bebefe hanging with you guys on this Wednesday. 40 minutes from now, we'll be joined by Nick Kostos with his thoughts on his Yankees losing game one of the AL wildcard series last night against the Boston Red Sox. Crochet was absolutely dominant. That's exactly what we needed, baby, as someone who bet the Boston Red Sox. Loved that one. But Nick will give us the Yankee perspective coming up in 40 minutes. 20 minutes from now, we'll get into NFL awards, MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, and the player you need to bet to win Defensive Player of the Year heading into Week 5. I'll lay it out for you coming up in 20 minutes. But in the last segment, I was talking about Dylan Gabriel starting this Sunday's game in London when the Browns take on the Minnesota Vikings. Of course, I am looking to be more open-minded about Dylan Gabriel. And if, as long as he's serviceable with the way that that defense is playing, which is at a championship level, I think the Browns at plus 650 to make the playoffs is a very live ticket to have heading into Week 5. So that is a bet that I made earlier this morning. I also do find it very hilarious. We're not going to talk about this during the headlines, but I saw it on my timeline, so I'm going to bring it up. Browns rookie quarterback Shedeur Sanders pantomiming his answers when asked about the QB change. Like, Shador is like one of the funniest people in sports, I think, right now. Like, the man is just like, his mouth is moving, but the words aren't coming out. Just pantomiming the answers to some of the questions from the Cleveland Browns media. Just never change, Shador. Never change. But joining us right now, like he does each and every weekday at 3:20 Eastern time, is our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman. Bill, how we doing on this fine Wednesday?
We're doing pretty good, Femi, and I like your thought on Cleveland. I was actually looking at that before we talked this morning. I was looking at that, and I'm like, I'm looking at that schedule and going, this thing is manageable. They might win some games here over the next 5-6 games. I'm sitting there going, maybe they're going to win 7-8 games here if Gabriel's decent. I like you taking it a step further with a shot at the playoffs, especially when you sit there and seeing some of these teams looking a little you know, Baltimore, obviously the main one, but some of these teams maybe not looking quite as strong as we thought in August as they are right now. Maybe someone can sneak in and be the seventh seed.
Yeah, and for those who have not seen the schedule, you might be driving, you're probably at work or whatever listening, but we appreciate you listening and watching You Better You Bet. But like, of course, they have this Sunday's game against the Vikings in Tottenham at the Steelers, which, yeah, like, that's a tricky game. It's very difficult. They're going to be an underdog, but like, with the way the defense is playing, they can at least be in the game. Home Dolphins at Patriots, bye week at the Jets, home Ravens, with Lamar is probably going to be back, at the Raiders, home Niners, home Titans, at Bears, home Bills, home Steelers, at Bengals. Like, it's not that difficult. And if Gabriel's like the 25th best quarterback in the league, I think they can win about 8 games. If he's average, I think they can win 10 games potentially. Like, that defense is that good. And nobody's talking about it because the record is 1-3 and the team has been very boring to watch, but the defense is awesome. And I think we want to play into that. So plus 650 for the Brownies to go ahead and make the playoffs. All right, we've talked enough Cleveland Browns. Let's get to the big stories that we have throughout the world of sports. Bill, what's the number one thing we need to know this afternoon?
Well, Femi, we are going to kick it off with football. We are going to start with baseball. Yeah. That's right. Last night, we had some MLB playoffs in action. The Red Sox took down the Yankees 3-1. Yankees certainly had some puzzling lineup decisions, had a lot of Yankee fans upset. Bombers, of course, load the bases in the bottom of the ninth inning. Nobody out, and they fail to score a single run. Garrett Crochet was awesome for Boston. Just 4 hits over 7 2/3 with 11 strikeouts. And Femi, the Red Sox will try and close this one out tonight in the Bronx.
I mean, like, first of all, like, what a fun game that was. It felt like a playoff game because it is a playoff game. It felt like how it's supposed to feel, but it was just a really entertaining game. I know, like, the unders have just been absolutely crushing so far through these wild card games. It looks like we're headed towards another under, knock on wood for those of you who bet the under in this Tigers Guardians game. But like, last night, you're on the edge of your seat. You're on pins and needles, and Crochet to turn in that performance, first playoff start at Yankee Stadium, and to do that 7 2/3 and be an absolute workhorse ace, 117 pitches. Like, we don't see that anymore in today's baseball. Like, the whole time you're wondering, God, I hope Cora doesn't take him out, because Crochet's just humming along. He's cooking. He's retired like, what, like 18 straight batters it was that he retired after he gave up the home run. Like, the dude was unbelievable last night. And that's why you make the trade. That's why you give him all that money, is for games like last night. Kudos to Crochet and what he was able to do in a tough spot on the road in his playoff debut. Now for the Yankees, I mean, this is part of the handicap, right? I know Aaron Boone's under.
Oh, it looks like we've got some internet issues with Mr. Abebefe. We'll see if we get Emmy back, Bill, on here shortly.
Bill, there, you know what he is. I think it was Nick Costos that cut my internet as I was about to bash his New York Yankees. I think that's what's happening here. Somebody's trying to hate, but we're not going to let it get in our way. We're going to get back on track. And what I was saying, as I was so rudely interrupted by my internet service provider, but what I was saying was that the New York Yankees, part of the handicap is, in these kind of moments, can you trust their manager? Press the right buttons, to pull the right strings. And with the way that Max Fried was pitching, 6 1/3, no earned runs, struck out 6, and yeah, he walked a few guys, but like, Fried looked awesome. He was nasty in high leverage moments. And at 102 pitches, you pull him as if this is a start in May? Bro, this is October. Especially now, as it's October 1st. But like, this is October. This is the playoffs. What are you resting him for? You lose tonight, you're not going to see Max Fried until April. Like go out there, and as long as he is cooking, because the Red Sox batters had no answer for Max Fried. The minute they pulled him as somebody who bet Boston, I was like, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Now let's see if we can get to this Yankee bullpen. And guess what happened? Luke Weaver trots onto the mound, can't get anyone out. Luke Weaver giving up runs. Here's Masa Yoshida, who I've literally not thought about in like 2 years. He comes up with the RBI single, like to get things going for Boston. And of course, the rest of the bullpen, they can't get it done. Alex Bregman tacks on some insurance in the ninth inning, and Bill mentioned it. Chapman loads the bases after they brought him in there to do the four-out save. He loads the bases in the ninth. Yankee Stadium's getting rolling. And I'm like, all right, best case scenario, let's go to extras and let's see what happens. But then once he gets one guy, I'm like, okay, you know, we got a chance here. Strikes out Chisholm, then gets it. It was just unbelievable that Chapman, kind of as the former Yankee, got Yankee fans' hopes up, only to slam the door shut in their faces like we said he would when breaking down this series. I love it. I think the Red Sox are going to win this series. As for tonight, I mean, it's not ideal with Brian Bello on the mound for Boston, right? But like, do you trust Carlos Rodon in a big spot? I wouldn't. Like, the more this price continues to get bet on the New York side, the more interested I'm going to become in the Boston Red Sox. And I'm saying this as somebody who bet plus 165 before the series started. I wouldn't mind doubling down on a plus money price if this thing continues to get a little bit out of control. So let's monitor this throughout the next couple of hours here on the show. But I'm loving where I'm at with the Boston Red Sox. I think they get it done either tonight or tomorrow, and they'll be advancing the ALDS and heading up north to take on the one-seeded Toronto Blue Jays. Bill, hit me with the next story.
All right, Femi, just really quickly here, top seven in Cleveland. Cleveland trying to get out of this mess they were in with two men on and nobody out. They've got now two outs here and still the score tied at one. So we'll see if Cleveland gets out of this. But last night, Femi, it was a home run parade last night in Los Angeles. Five home runs for the Dodgers, including two from Shohei Ohtani, and the Dodgers cruise in game one against the Reds, 10-5. And it wasn't even that close. Reds tacked on three late. Femi, for those who still think the Dodgers are the team to beat in beat this October, they certainly looked the part last night.
Yeah, I'll tell you who didn't look the part. It was Hunter Green, the pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds. I thought that Hunter Green might be able to at least like keep his team in it. Here's three innings, six hits, five earned runs, two... gave up three home runs. I don't know if he was just a little bit nervous going back home because he's an LA guy. And there was a lot of that was made up in the broadcast about, hey, like this is an LA guy pitching at Dodger Stadium against the Dodgers. Maybe he was just nervous, but they took him to task. And at that point, this bad boy was over. Now, I will say this, though, about the Dodgers, because like it's easy to look at what Blake Snell did, and he was awesome in the game, going seven innings, nine strikeouts. It's easy to look at Ohtani, to look at Teoscar Hernandez with his two home runs as well in the game. The big concern about the Dodgers is the bullpen. Like, this score says 10-5. It was 10-5 in the top of the eighth with the bases loaded. All it took was one hit, and all of a sudden, this is a very, very close game. So as much as you can be kind of like mystified by the lineup that the Dodgers have, can you actually trust this bullpen once they face better teams? Because Cincinnati's lineup, I mean, come on. It's a joke. That's not a playoff caliber lineup. Like, we're all like looking around like Ellie De La Cruz. Like, Ellie De La Cruz ain't got nothing for you. Ain't doing anything. Like this lineup is not playoff worthy. But if they win this series, Philadelphia's lineup is, and other lineups down the road are, can this bullpen hang on to these games? That's going to be the big storyline for the Dodgers as we progress throughout the playoffs. They should get by Cincinnati, barring something crazy happening, but watch out for that bullpen starting this weekend when they take on the Phillies. Bill, hit me with the next one.
Gas, he's gone. High heat, and Perez goes down swinging 1-1. We go to the bottom of the seventh.
Detroit, I thought for a second we said he's gone. I was like, did he hit a home run?
No, I'm a White Sox fan. It's the old Hawk Harrelson.
Gotcha. Okay, I was scared for a second. I was like, damn it. Let's go, guards. Guards ball, come on.
All right, let's switch over to the NFL, Femi, where we have big news out of Washington. Jaden Daniels has been cleared, and he practiced in full today. Daniels says he plans to play this weekend as the Commanders will be in California to face the Chargers. Chargers currently a 2.5-point favorite over at BetMGM.
Yeah, this is big for the Washington Commanders, obviously. Like, we know he's not going to have his favorite guy, Terry McLaurin, back, barring some sort of, like, unforeseen healing by McLaurin. They said his quad injury is going to have him week to week. But I think right now for the Commanders, Daniels elevates them so much. And the big thing for Washington, too, in this game, and why this is a very gettable game for the Commanders, look at the offensive line for the Chargers. Joe Walt is now doubtful. I mean, the fact they have him as doubtful is pretty miraculous. I thought that he'd already been ruled out by now, dealing with a high ankle sprain, already missing Rashawn Slater from training camp with that ACL injury. Like, this is a very, very banged up Chargers offensive line. Like, there's still a three out there in the market at a couple of places. One at a pretty prominent domestic sports book, one that's here locally in Las Vegas where I live. Three minus 110 is a bet. And it's a bet that I placed earlier this afternoon. I think this is a coin flip kind of a game. And if you're going to give a quarterback like Daniels caliber 3 points, even if it's on the road, technically, quote unquote, on the road, because I think there actually might be more Washington fans at this game come Sunday with all those people that moved out to the West Coast. Like, I think that this could go either way. So I will gladly take the three. I do think you see Jaden Daniels not maybe look like the guy that we saw with the playoff run, but he should look to like what we should expect to see with him. Maybe dealing with some things with a knee injury, but I would expect to see a really good, competent quarterback. Something that the Commanders haven't had over the last couple of weeks. Bill, hit me with the next one.
I mean, the Baltimore Ravens look like a MASH unit as 8 of their starters did not practice today, including the big one, Lamar Jackson. Now, as we discussed yesterday, the expectation is that Lamar is going to miss this game, probably more. And that, of course, is why the Houston Texans are sitting as a 1-point road favorite in Baltimore on Sunday.
The amount of guys that are hurt for the Ravens is insane. And I understand people will say, all right, I want to bet Houston. I want to do that. It makes sense. But still, with all of those injuries, I don't know if I could justify Houston being the favorite here. like if Baltimore was healthy, this is close to 10. Now, do all these injuries get you this move from like 9.5 now all the way out to Houston -1 or -1.5? Maybe you can justify it. But if anything, as we always talk about in these fallen hero spots, like, what's more likely to be correct? That we underreacted or that we overreacted? Very rarely do we underreact to when a star player is missing a game. So I would be more on the Baltimore side. I think you're going to see another push towards Houston whenever the Lamar news is official, whether that comes tomorrow, on Friday, or on Saturday. When that news comes out that Lamar's not playing in the game, I think we're going right back to Houston -2.5. I don't think we'll get to 3 because at that point, there's such a big window. People will come by and buy back on that one. But I think we're going to 2.5 with a lot of recreational bettors who don't even think about the games until about Thursday, Friday. Once they start to get into there and say, oh, Lamar is out, I'm going to bet the Houston Texans to win, then that's going to move the market. And at that point, I will be looking to back the Ravens in the fallen hero spot at home with Cooper Rush as the quarterback. Bill, hit me with the next one.
All right, Femi, quickly, the 49ers have a big game tomorrow night, LA Rams NFC West showdown. 49ers dealing with several key injuries, including wide receiver Ricky Pearsall and quarterback Brock Purdy. Both will be listed as questionable for Thursday Night Football. Femi, 49ers, tough spot with Purdy here. According to the San Francisco Chronicle, he is pushing hard to play. He did not look great last week against Jacksonville, turning the ball over 3 times, and now needs to come back on a short week.
Yeah, this is a tough, tough spot for San Francisco. I actually have seen a sportsbook here in Las Vegas go down to 6.5. So maybe that gives you an indication that perhaps Purdy is going to be able to convince the medical staff and the coaching staff that he can play tomorrow night. But against that Rams pass rush, going up there with a bad toe and an offensive line that's not that sturdy, I would not recommend this for Brock Purdy. I'd be like, hey, buddy, like, we got Mac Jones out here that can go play, man. Like, let's get you an extra rest, because that's the thing that the Niners have to consider. There's an extra rest after this, a little bit of a mini bye. Do you take advantage of that and get him right for next week and beyond? Or because it's a division game, do you try to press the gas coming up tomorrow night? Fascinated to see what they ultimately decide to do. But if Purdy doesn't play, it is a nice layup for the Rams to go out there and get a victory on this Thursday night. All right, on the other side, we're talking NFL awards, MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, and then I will tell you the player you need to bet to win Defensive Player of the Year heading into Week 5 in the NFL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Let's get back to it here on the BetMGM Network. This is You Better You Bet. I am Femi Ebebefe, hanging with you guys on this Wednesday. 20 minutes from now, we'll be joined by Nick Costos with his thoughts on his New York Yankees falling behind 0-1 in the AL Wildcard Series against the rival Boston Red Sox. Will they get it done tonight and stave off elimination? Elimination game for the Bronx Bombers, baby. It should be an awesome scene out there at Yankee Stadium tonight. Probably a nervous scene with Carlos Rodon on the mound going up against Brian Bello of the Red Sox. So Nick will give us his thoughts on last night's game. I'm sure he'll have something for Aaron Boone coming up to begin the 4 o'clock hour. Right now, to update you guys on what's happening in both of these wild card games, we're in the top of the eighth in Cleveland, still tied up at one, a runner on first here for the Detroit Tigers. We were talking about it during the break. The Guardians offense, it's non-existent. And I guess you could say it's the same for Detroit, but the Detroit at least gets guys on base. You know, like they just haven't been lucky enough to get them home. They at least get guys on base. I feel like Cleveland has like zero base runners. They can't do a thing. Like nothing is working. They have two hits in this game. Luckily for them, one of them was a home run in the first inning, but like, I don't even know how these guys are going to score. They're going to have to get some sort of error or luck into a home run, as Tyler was saying during the break, because this is bad right now for the Cleveland Guardians. But all that aside, still 1-1 in the top of the eighth right now as they are trying to stave off elimination. Also in Chicago over at Wrigley Field, the Padres have a 1-0 lead on the Cubs as we are headed to the top of the third. Shota Imanaga already into the game. Kittredge lasted all of one inning. And he gave up a couple hits, gave up a run, and here we are. It was a sacrifice fly to Jackson Merrill as he drove home Fernando Tatis Jr. So far, though, through two innings, we talk about people having that look. Dylan Cease might have that look, which is problematic if you want the Cubs to win this game. Dylan Cease, two innings, is giving up one hit, three strikeouts. I always kind of talk about how Cease is like the metrics darling and like, oh, look at his FIP and look at all this stuff and his ex-WOBA, whatever, all that nonsense. It looks like that's all coming to fruition today because he looks incredible right now. It's only two innings. You know, it's like we're putting him into the Cooperstown off this one game, but like he looks really, really good so far through two innings. Hopefully that doesn't keep up as somebody who would like the Chicago Cubs to win this game and this series. So that's what's happening in baseball. We'll, of course, update you all throughout the show as we are sweating series prices, bets on the game, et cetera, et cetera. But let's talk some NFL awards here while we've got some time in this segment. Want to start off with MVP because that's, of course, the biggest award. That's the marquee award that we have in the NFL. And the favorite is the guy that's been the favorite throughout the entire offseason, through training camp, and through the first 4 weeks of the season. That is Bills quarterback Josh Allen, the reigning defending MVP, who at BetMGM is now a minus price. Josh Allen, odds on favorite to repeat as the league's MVP, minus 105. And you look at his numbers and the team success, it all adds up. First in EPA per play, second in QBR. The Bills are 4-0 with an updated win total of 13.5, and they're minus 185 to be the one seed. Case closed. Like if that continues, he's going to win the award. Now, I will say this as somebody who's invested in Josh Allen, as we talked about during the offseason, the one guy that scares me with this award, it's the boogeyman himself. It's Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mahomes, prior to Sunday's win over Baltimore, was 18-1. I looked long and hard at that. Like I was like, man, is this the buy point? Decided not to buy. I just bet Kansas City in the game. I should have bought because I felt Kansas City was going to win. And of course, I should have known that 18-1 was now going to be 7-1 as we sit here heading into week five. Now, I will say this about the Chiefs. Like they have a little bit of a tricky game come Monday night against the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're a 3-point road favorite Some places have it 3.5. Like, that could go either way. They could obviously win, and maybe it's Mahomes kind of in that island game on national TV, kind of letting everybody know and reminding us that he's still that dude. Or maybe the Jags turnover luck just continues and all the tip balls go their way, all the fumbles bounce to their players, and maybe Jacksonville just wins. We'll find out on Monday. But Mahomes is a guy that concerns me. Kansas City with a win total of 10.5. He's third in QBR, not as high in EPA per play. He's sitting at 10th, but as somebody who is invested in a Josh Allen, he's got a little bit of Justin Herbert, he's got some Jordan Love. Patrick Mahomes is the guy that I'm concerned about going forward. And finally, with the MVP, before we go to OPOY, Lamar Jackson is 20-1 right now over at BetMGM. He's not expected to play this week, and it doesn't sound like he's going to play next week. You miss two games, you can't win MVP. Like, that's kind of how it goes. And Lamar with this Ravens team, they're 1-3. There's a good chance by the time he comes back, they're like, what, best case scenario, 2-4? There's a chance that they may be 1-5. Like, that's not going to get you the MVP. So this is kind of one of those years where, hey, it's just not Lamar's year. As he's 6th in EPA per play and 5th in QBR, I would never bet Lamar Jackson, not even at 20-1. We're going to find out over these next couple of weeks that he's just ineligible to win the award. Let's get over to Offensive Player of the Year. This will also be a shorter conversation because the favorite is the guy that should be the favorite, and that is Rams wide receiver Puka Nacua. Nacua right now is plus 275 over at BetMGM to win the award. The Rams have a win total of 11.5. They're the favorites to win their division. Obviously, division success, big-time team success, that is correlated with winning Offensive Player of the Year. And all he's doing right now is leading the league in receptions with 42 and in receiving yards with 503. Now, the touchdowns, he only has one so far this season, but the guy's on pace for like 25, 2600 receiving yards. Like, that's absurd. It's not going to continue that way, but like, that's why he's the favorite, because Matthew Stafford's giving him like 15 targets per game. Puka Nacua, very, like, justifiably the favorite to win OPOY. Now, that game last Sunday against the Colts, that really does bug the hell out of me, because it was kind of like the early season OPOY bowl with Puka Nacua and Jonathan Taylor on the other side. As you know, us here on You Better You Bet, team Jonathan Taylor, he is down to 4-1. Talked about him a couple of weeks ago when he was 15-1. Yeah, you got to be concerned about Puka, man. Like, you do. Like, I like Jonathan Taylor quite a bit. He still leads the league in rushing yards. He's on a team that's favored to win their division. They have a win total of 9.5. That all checks out. But if Puka has 2,000 yards receiving, like, what do you do? You know, you just got to tip the cap, shake the guy's hand and say, hey, you beat me. So right now, Jonathan Taylor, a justified second choice in the betting market, but it's hard to run down Puka Nacua, at least right now. Something would have to change drastically with how things are going with that Rams offense. And real quick, before we get to DPOY, I'll say this because I've been getting some questions about Bills running back James Cook. He is down to 15-1. He is second in the league in rushing yards behind Jonathan Taylor with 401. Their win total, of course, is sky high, 13.5, as we mentioned when we talked about Josh Allen. I just don't think that James Cook is going to get the credit because he plays on the same offense as Josh Allen. Like, all of the Bills hype, and it's all going to go to Josh Allen. Like, is James Cook? Do people talk about James Cook when they talk about the Bills? It feels like everyone talks about Josh Allen. So I get it. People are interested in Cook. I just would never bet him, not at these prices of 15-1. He would have to do something like 30 touchdowns to maybe make James Cook wins OPOY. But if that's not the case and it's Josh Allen kind of vulturing some of those touchdowns away from him with the tush push stuff, I would not be betting Josh or James Cook to win OPOY. Which brings us to DPOY, Defensive Player of the Year. This one this week, I think, is fun because we have a new favorite now in the market. It is no longer Packers edge rusher Michael Parsons. It is now a slight favorite, Lions edge rusher Aiden Hutchinson. At BetMGM, Hutchinson plus 340 to win DPOY. Lions win total 11.5, plus 120 to win the North, minus 400 to make the playoffs. And he has 4 sacks, 4 tackles for loss, and a couple of forced fumbles on the season. Now, is Hutchinson a justified favorite? You can make the argument. He's plus 340. Miles Garrett, Micah Parsons are plus 350. So it's kind of like a co-favorite situation with a slight edge towards Aiden Hutchinson. And you could justify any of those guys. Like, I'm starting to be a little bit more open-minded to Cleveland, so you can even justify Miles Garrett at plus 350. And we all know what Micah Parsons has done as well. But here's the thing for me with Defensive Player of the Year and the guy that I want to bet on. Because when Lamar Jackson got hurt yesterday, we talked about the schedule and we said, hey, who do they play this upcoming Sunday? It's the Houston Texans. And boy, this would be great for Will Anderson Jr., right? If Houston was ever good. Unfortunately, they're not. They're just not good. So our Will Anderson Jr. tickets from before the season kind of DOA with that team kind of being stinky. But you look at who they play next week. It's the Los Angeles Rams. And quietly, and actually not even quietly, because a lot of people acknowledge this player's greatness early in his career. But Rams edge rusher Jared Verse right now at BetMGM is 18-1. That, my friends, is what we call a bet. That is value. I like Jared Verse at 18-1 to be DPOY. Now, let's run down the whole thing because the team success, they have it. 11.5, the win total. They're projected to be really good. Minus 300 to make the playoffs. They're the favorites to win the NFC West. Their defense is really good. 7th in defensive EPA per play. And his stats, they're not gaudy, but they're good enough. He has 2 sacks so far through 4 games, 3 tackles for loss, and a couple of forced fumbles. But here's the kicker for Jared Verse. Tomorrow night, standalone island game, taking on an injured 49ers offense. What if it's Mac Jones? What if there's no Ricky Pearsall? What if there's no Juwan Jennings? Like, this could get really bad for the San Francisco 49ers. And I think Jared Verse on Amazon Prime, standalone game, can make a name for himself and become a household name. Look at next week for Jared Verse and the Rams. On the road, not against Lamar Jackson, against Cooper Rush. If Jared Verse terrorizes Cooper Rush and that Ravens offense, that could be back-to-back weeks to where all of a sudden we are talking highly about Jared Verse. Like, that is an insane run for Jared Verse. And as long as Matthew Stafford stays healthy, I think this Rams team can be one of the better teams in the NFC. We all think about them as a contender if they're healthy. It's just, can they stay healthy? That's the big question. But if they do stay healthy at 18-1, I think Verse, who is quickly being seen as one of the bright young defensive stars in the NFL, can be a guy that joins the table with Aiden Hutchinson, Myles Garrett, and Micah Parsons, and is in that conversation in the second half of the season. So Jared Verse, 18-1 to win DPOY, is your bet heading into week 5 in the NFL. It appears we have a development in Cleveland as we turn our attention back to baseball here before we head to the top of the hour with Nick Kostos. The Cleveland Guardians. As I was dumping on their offense, the Cleveland Guardians get it done as Rocchio hits a home run. This team is so bad on offense. 3 hits, but the only number that matters is the 2 runs as they have a 2-1 lead right now in the bottom of the 8th. We'll update you guys on that game all throughout this 4 o'clock hour, but Guards Ball is back, baby, and Nick Kostos is with us to begin the next hour talking his Yankees falling to the Red Sox last night in the AL Wild Card Series.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.